Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Grim is the word for the latest index of leading economic indicators. The September figures have just been released in Washington, and we'll hear about them from Jacqueline Adams.
The index declined 2.7%. That's the biggest monthly decline since April of 1980, and it marks a 5.5% drop from this year's high point in the index. 8 of the 10 indicators used to compile this measurement were down last month, the two biggest declines being stock market prices off 9% and the factory work week off 2%. Only one indicator increased, and that was for crude material prices. Also down were building permits, orders for new plant and equipment, orders for manufactured consumer goods, and the layoff rate was up. This index is used to predict the nation's future economic performance. Analysts can't say that September's index of leading economic indicators confirms that a technical recession will continue, but they say the index does tell them that there will be no upturn in the economy at any time in the near future. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Washington.
AWACS won, and President Reagan won big. The Senate vote late yesterday was 52-48, an outcome that all sides agree resulted largely from Mr. Reagan's intense personal lobbying. We'll get around to that in a few moments, but we'll begin with a look at reaction from the Middle East. We have a series of reports, commencing with Bob Faw in Jerusalem.
For the cabinet of Prime Minister Begin, which met in special session here this morning, the question now is just how serious can the United States be about strategic cooperation with Israel when it chooses to sell its most sophisticated weaponry to Israel's biggest enemy? After a meeting of nearly 2 hours, Mr. Begin emerged not with an answer, but merely a statement regretting the Senate vote and reiterating his government's belief that AWACS endanger Israel's national security.
The new and serious danger now faces Israel, new since the restoration of our statehood. We will have to overcome this threat also.
So the government, which dared not discuss compensation before the vote, will be forced to do just that, and in blunt language, seeking new American weapons to offset the Saudi package. The question is, given yesterday's vote and the administration's concern for Saudi Arabia, how much weight will the Israeli appeals carry? More on the AWACS decision now from Larry Pintack in Beirut.
It's New Year's Day in the Muslim world today, and the guardians of Islam's most holy places, the Saudis, have a special reason to celebrate. It was the early hours of the morning in the Middle East when the Senate voted. Most Saudis got their first news of the outcome in the banner headlines in this morning's newspapers celebrating the victory. The Saudi press is presenting the vote as a triumph over the Israel lobby. The power of the Zionist influence, wrote one newspaper, was proven to be a fragile wooden horse. Another paper said what it termed the Saudi will had made Americans realize where their real interest lay. The more radical Arab states are largely silent on the vote. But the government newspaper in pro-Soviet Syria criticizes Arabs who depend on the U.S. and, in the paper's words, failed to learn a lesson from Sadat's death. Larry Pintack, CBS News, Beirut.
This is Mitchell Krause in Cairo. Calling it a turning point in Arab-American relations, Egyptian officials applauded the Senate action and were quick to point out that Egypt was an early supporter of the sale. Egyptian Minister of State Boutros Ghali spoke of its effect in the area.
It will reinforce the relation between the United States and the Arab world. And secondly, it will reinforce peace in this region because this country needs defense. And certainly that the AWACS is one of the better way or a better tool to have a good defense concerning any kind of foreign aggression in the region.
Boutros Ghali admitted that some Arab states, including Syria and Libya, opposed the sale because they oppose peace. However, he said that Arab unity would prevail sooner or later, and that by providing the Saudis with a means of preserving peace in their area, this would be a positive result elsewhere. Mitchell Krause, CBS News, Cairo.
The Soviet news agency TASS says the AWACS sale will heat up the arms race in the Middle East and enhance the U.S. military presence in that region. For President Reagan, the Senate's approval of AWACS represented a major political victory, a triumph of political and personal persuasion. And as we hear from Neil Strausser, Mr. Reagan was understandably gratified.
According to aides, when President Reagan was first told of a Senate victory, he said, "Thank God," and then promptly telephoned his wife. This afternoon, with a vote behind him, the president and Mrs. Reagan enter Bethesda Naval Hospital for an overnight stay for their annual physical checkups. Then we'll fly directly off to Camp David for what Mr. Reagan must feel is some well-deserved rest after last week's summitry and this week's almost nonstop lobbying with senators, which left him with a cold and a hoarse voice. Congratulations, particularly on the president's role, abounded last evening during a somewhat restrained victory celebration in the Oval Office, with Senate Leader Howard Baker calling him our personal negotiator. There was an obvious effort to avoid gloating too much, perhaps combined with the feeling that the Senate's shave had been too close. Though the president went out of his way to tell the interagency working group, which under National Security Advisor Richard Allen led the lobbying effort, that it was fourth quarter with goal to go and you pushed it through, some aides now expect questions about why the clock was nearly allowed to run out before the AWACS rally was launched. Some of the fingers are pointing at Allen, or at least at the weakened role now given the National Security Advisor as Foreign Policy Coordinator. Neil Strauser, CBS News, the White House.
Former President Gerald Ford told reporters in Sydney, Australia today that as a result of the deal, Saudi Arabia will be almost obligated to take part in the Middle East peace process. Yankee fans never thought it would happen. Even some Dodger fans had their doubts. But last night the Dodgers did it. They defeated the Yankees 9-2 on the Yankees' home grounds and won the 1981 World Series. Wynn Elliott reports.
Almost an impossible season for the Dodgers as they had to come from behind to beat Houston, Montreal, and then New York. Hooton, on the mound for the Dodgers, was struggling but maintaining his pace, and later he told me what this game and what this season has meant to him and the Dodgers.
Everything just turned out great this year, and we're really sorry that there had to be a strike this year. I think there'll always be an asterisk by this this championship, mm-hmm. but it doesn't diminish the magnitude of it at all. It's really great, and we've got a great team, and the way we came back and all the playoff series and even a World Series is just a tremendous tribute to our ball club.
As far as the Yankees are concerned, here's a statement by George Steinbrenner that he passed out after the game. Quote, I want to sincerely apologize to the people of New York and to the fans of the Yankees everywhere for the performance of the Yankee team in the World Series, and I want to assure you that we will be back at work immediately to prepare for 1982. If I know George, that's this morning. I'm Wynn Elliott for CBS News, Yankee Stadium, New York.
This was the first series won by the Dodgers since 1965.
KNX
Among this country's major auto manufacturers, there are no winners this year, only losers. Don Webster reports from Detroit.
Today, Chrysler will become the last of the big three automakers to report its third quarter earnings. And after a thin profit in the second quarter, the company is expected to once again be losing money. Ford yesterday announced it lost $335 million in the quarter. Combined with General Motors' loss of $468 million announced last week, it means the top two automakers lost a whopping $800 million. Some auto analysts think Chrysler's loss will be relatively small, perhaps in the neighborhood of $150 million. But those same analysts were far too conservative in estimating GM and Ford's red ink. As did General Motors, Ford blamed the state of the economy for its setback. Auto experts agree car sales won't pick up much until interest rates come down, making monthly payments more affordable. Don Webster, CBS News, Detroit.
OPEC oil ministers are holding an emergency session today in Geneva, and they may go along with Saudi Arabia's proposal for a uniform base price of $34 a barrel for their crude. The Saudis now charge $32 a barrel. The higher price would mean an increase of around 2.5 cents a gallon in the retail costs of gasoline and home heating oil in this country. Stockholm reports that an unidentified submarine, possibly Soviet, has been detected inside Swedish territorial waters, not far from a known Soviet submarine grounded near the Karlskrona Naval Base. Helicopters equipped with depth charges have been sent to the area. Reports from the African Republic of Cameroon indicate that an attempt has been made to overthrow the government of neighboring Chad and bring about a merger with Libya. Rebel forces are said to have entered Chad's capital yesterday, supported by troops sent by Libya's strongman Muammar Gaddafi. The dollar remains mixed this morning against the major foreign currencies, and gold is off rather sharply. The price of gold was fixed in London this morning at $422.25 an ounce. That's down nearly $8 from late yesterday.
CBS News. The Soviet Union has asked Sweden to help the grounded Soviet submarine. Another sub, presumably Russian, has left under its own power. I'm Richard C. Hottolett reporting on the CBS Radio Network. One aground and one gone is the Swedish score in the continuing cat-and-mouse game with Soviet submarines in the Baltic Sea. Day before yesterday, a Soviet sub ran aground well within Swedish territorial waters on the southeast coast. Sweden's defense minister called it the most flagrant violation of Sweden's territorial waters since World War II. A short while ago, Leif Leifland of Sweden's foreign ministry told CBS News of the diplomatic follow-up.
We have launched a formal protest against this violation of Swedish territory. Soviet Union has recognized that it is indeed a Soviet submarine, and they have asked the Swedish government to see to it that this submarine is taken afloat.
Another submarine, not positively identified, was detected today in the same area. But Leifland says it has now left. More news after this.
If you're running around in circles because you overslept this morning, it could be worth your time to take a little break and get square with the rest of the day. Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's. So come on in and relax with some fluffy hotcakes, pure pork sausage, and a steaming cup of McDonald's coffee. We're right on your way, serving it all fast and hot, so you won't be held up. And with a fresh game plan, you'll be ready to take on the world.
You deserve a break today.
Your breakfast is ready
at McDonald's.
Summer may be over, but the savings are just beginning at True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that right now you can save on everyday household items featured in their value-packed fall shopper circular. You'll find TrueTest Weatherall, their finest quality acrylic latex house paint, for just $10.98 a gallon. And you'll save on painting accessories, weather stripping, appliances, and household cleaners, just to name a few. At participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers, where you'll find values in every department. And say that Pat Summerall sent you.
The Senate's approval of the AWACS sale is meeting with predictable reaction in the Middle East. The recipient of the arms package, Saudi Arabia, claims the vote as a victory and a defeat for Israel. The Israeli cabinet met in emergency session, after which Prime Minister Begin said, quote, a new and serious danger now faces Israel. In Egypt, applause for President Reagan. Mitchell Krauss reports.
Egyptian officials expressed relief and satisfaction with the AWACS outcome. They called it a turning point in Arab-American relations and a sign that the United States had developed a strong and wise Middle East policy. Downplaying any danger to Israel that Saudi AWACS might pose, the Egyptians stressed the positive value in discouraging any aggression against Saudi Arabia's oil fields from the east, referring obliquely to Iran and Syria and perhaps Soviet-supported elements in other Arab countries. Though Egypt has been isolated from most other Arab countries because of its peace treaty with Israel, it still considers itself a leader and spokesman for the Arab world and hopes eventually to reestablish relations with its Arab neighbors. Observers here say Egypt's early and strong support of the Saudi arms package was an indication that Egypt hoped to begin its effort toward better relations by convincing the Saudis that Egypt's position on AWACS helped move some senators to support the Reagan administration proposal. Mitchell Krauss, CBS News, Cairo.
China's Foreign Minister Huang Hua met today with his opposite number in Washington, Secretary of State Haig. It's the first of 2 days of meetings for Huang, who will also see President Reagan and Vice President Bush. The State Department says Huang will discuss prospects for U.S. arms sales to China, and he's reportedly concerned about weapons sales to Taiwan. For the third time this year, the OPEC oil cartel is trying to work out a unified pricing system. The oil ministers are meeting in Geneva amid talk that Saudi Arabia will raise the price it charges by $2 a barrel if other OPEC nations lower theirs to $34 a barrel. Stocks and other news after this.
Here, speaking for your nearby Pip Instant Printer,
Steve Allen
and Jane Meadows.
Say, did you hear about the guy who bought a suit with two pairs of pants and burned a hole in the coat?
Yeah,
old joke, right? Well, did you hear about the smart businessman who ordered 10,000 printed copies from his Pip printer? He got top quality at a price that made him smile. That's no joke. Jane, do you know Pip is America's number one instant printer?
No, but if you could hum a few bars.
That's no joke, too,
Jane. You know, spring chicken yourself.
Sunday on CBS Television, a CBS special movie presentation.
Every which way,
it's Clint Eastwood at his two-fisted best, He's a good old brawling, loving, truck-driving boy. But to win this woman's love...
He must go through a lot of women like that.
He'll have to fight for her. Clint Eastwood's Bustin' Loose in... Every Which Way for Loose. Sunday at 8, 7 Central and Mountain on CBS Television. Every Which Way for Loose.
The government's measure of future economic trends, the Index of Leading Economic Indicators, fell 2.7% last month. That is the biggest drop since April 1980 and the sixth monthly decline this year. Treasury Secretary Regan sees the drop as further evidence of the current recession, and he says it's time to think through how to get out of the economic dip. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average down 2.85, volume on the big board nearly 18 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials, 834.76. Richard C. Hautalette, CBS News.